our heart desired for him tonight, sin.
Long and for Jesus, I have a longing in my heart just for
tonight, says all the scripture said, blessed is he that thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. How we just want to bow our heads and close our eyes, knowing that he means more than life to us. Lord Jesus, how we praise and thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, that you is the one, we know, that placed that longing in our hearts. Lord, and we know that you are not slack concerning your promise tonight, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, as we come tonight, Lord. Lord, that you'll so have full preeminence amongst us, Lord. Lord, for you promised in your word, Lord, Father. Lord, that you're true, Lord, and that you will not lie, Lord. Lord, and seeing that you is the one that means more than life to us on this earth, Lord. Lord, we come with faith, believing thy word, knowing that heaven and earth will pass away, Lord, but your word cannot fail, Lord Father. Lord, we know that you give us that seed to believe your word in this hour, Lord. Lord, and knowing that we are your people that you have raised up, Lord. Lord, in this hour to fulfill thy word, Lord. Lord, we bring our cups tonight, asking thee to fill it and fill it till we want no more, Lord Father. Lord, may you so fill the longing in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we know it's only you alone can satisfy that desire, Lord Father. Oh God, we pray that you so have mercy upon us tonight, Lord. Lord, may you so forgive us, Lord. Lord, we know it took your amazing grace, Lord, that we could be gathered to worship and to give you honor. Lord, as you continue, Lord, may you just have thine own way. Those who still have to come, Lord, we pray that you so bring them in safely, Lord Father. Lord, our hearts are centered upon thee tonight, Lord Father. Lord, may you just take full, complete control amongst us, Lord. Lord, seeing, Lord, in this dark and cloudy day, Lord, you know the only thing could give us life is your word, Lord Father. So, Lord, we pray tonight, Lord Father, that so take hold and minister tonight, Lord Father. Lord, and may speak the words of life into our souls tonight, Lord Father. Lord, we ask it, Lord, in thy precious, holy, and wonderful name, Lord. Would everyone just say amen tonight?
Amen.
Just want to continue worshiping him and giving him the honor. Let's sing, he is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is our Lord tonight, sing.
He is Lord.
Let's all worship him. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
Oh, he has risen from the dead and he is our Lord.
He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
Every knee shall bow.
Every knee shall bow.
Every tongue confess.
Every tongue.
Yeah. One more time, He is Lord, He is Lord. Let's worship Him.
He is Lord.
Oh,
He is Lord.
He has
risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every day shall fall.
Every tongue confess. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed is your wonderful name, Lord. He is our Lord tonight, saints. He is risen from the dead. How we ought to worship Him and give Him all the honor and praise. Amen. Thank God seeing everyone amongst us tonight. Just want to take up tonight, tithes and offering. Just want to sing this song, more about Jesus, what I know. The brothers just make their way. They just want to give you a track tonight, the call to prayer, as they will just give out the offering. So, as they make their way, just be ready and look out for the brothers tonight. Amen. More about Jesus, what I know.
More about Jesus, what I know. More of His grace to others. More of His saving policy. More of His love who died for me.
Communion with my Lord.
Holy communion.
His voice in every line.
Oh,
making His people sing. But send my Jesus tonight, since that's what we come in the house of the Lord for, just to receive more of Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's a fountain tonight, saints, that flows from deep within. That fountain could never run dry. Amen. Let's just sing that song. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a just worship Him tonight. That flows from deep within. There is a dark fountain, frees the soul from sin.
That frees the soul from
sin. Oh, come to this water, there is a vast supply.
Father,
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's no better place to have been tonight, just being in this house. Amen. So we all have a seat. I have Sister Monica and Sister Deborah amongst us. I want to give God all the honor and praise. Only Jesus could satisfy our souls tonight. Amen. Just ask them. Come forward. Amen. To come forward, I think I love him better every day. Close by his side, wonder by him. Amen.
You may search the wide world over, but you would be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If you can have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could attain, but you had not Christ within, you living here would be in vain. There'll come a time when death just call you. Change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Amen, the night saints. Only Jesus Christ could satisfy our soul. Could we all stand? We just want to come a little closer to him tonight, saints. That's what we are here tonight for. Amen. Amen. We just want to sing this song. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Amen. 38 in the Only Believe Songbook, 161 in the Melodies of Praise. Amen. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and told thy love to me. Amen. I am thine, O Lord. I am heard and thy voice I'm implored. Thy love.
Prayerfully now, consecrate me now.
Consecrate me.
Sing a little slower tonight.
To thy service, hallowed by the power of praise thee.
Let my soul look up.
Let my soul look up. Greatest steadfast hope and my will.
Depths of love. Sister Brother Winston Douglas requests prayer for his father, who is suffering with a terrible back pain, and also for himself, who is not feeling so well in his body. Oh, this is a Joan request prayer for two children who is suffering with fever and pains all over their body. I'm sure to want to give God praise tonight for healing her after prayers offered for her on Friday, but the two children here is suffering tonight with fever and pain. If you have a special request, hold in your heart also. God do not just heal the body, but he heals the soul as well tonight. He provides and supplies every need, for he is all sufficient. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your precious promises that you have made in your word unto us tonight, Lord. Lord, as we gather here tonight, we know that from the time you spoke those promises, even until the time we are standing here tonight, Father, they are true, Lord. They are available unto us. Lord, we come with faith, believing the faith, the revelation that you have given unto us, that we are heirs of the promises of God tonight, that we are the seed of Abraham, the ones to whom you made these promises, Father. And dear God, knowing it's the devil, Lord God, who comes and afflicts the people, Lord God, who tries to hinder them, Father. Lord, we have caught a revelation of your word. Lord God, our souls have been wrapped in your presence. He cannot get our soul, Father, for his seal off with the seal of God. But Lord, how he comes and tries at our physical bodies at times. But Lord God, we know you are standing here tonight, the great physician that touch and heal everyone that is in need of healing tonight, Father. Oh God, Sister Joan, the two children here tonight, Father. And Lord God, even Brother Winston, here not feeling too well in his body also, even standing in need of prayer for his father tonight, Lord. Oh God, the church of the living God, Lord, knowing the seven seals have been opened up, knowing the inheritance, Lord God, has been given back unto the sons and daughters of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, may you touch them and heal them, and even those who are standing, Lord God, on behalf of the children, on behalf of their family tonight, Father, may likewise they also receive the healing tonight. All those in the house of God standing, Lord, needy tonight, Father, may you touch them, Lord. Lord God, may you grant unto them what they have need of also, whether it might be some spiritual need, some financial need, whatever it is, Father. Lord God, you are the all-sufficient one tonight. And most of all, Lord God, in this service, as we come tonight to speak your word, as we come tonight to seek your face in prayer, as we come, Lord, to enter into a closer walk with thee, oh, may your Holy Spirit that is here already, may you move upon each and every heart tonight, Lord. And Lord, may you consecrate every life tonight to your service tonight by the power of grace divine. Let our soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let our will be lost in thine. As we sang that song, draw us near, Father. This is what we desire in our hearts, till we could be feeling in our hearts, Lord, every fiber of our being is under divine control. To know, dear God, that when you look down upon us, you can say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Have your own way in this service tonight. We thank and we praise you for what you will do. Bless the strangers amongst us, each and every one tonight. May they not leave this place without you speaking to them, Lord, and without you revealing yourself unto them. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. For your honor and for your glory. Amen. We want to turn to our Bible tonight. You will know the praise. So I want to give God praise and thanks for the healing of our three children who was ill in bed with vomiting and diarrhea. Amen. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19 to 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. May Lord bless you and his word. You may have a seat. Well, we want to greet everyone in the house of God tonight. And we really appreciate everyone coming out and being under prayer and under expectation for the service tonight. And we're trying to have this Wednesday night service dedicated to prayer. And we're going to have a little exhortation to keep our minds centered upon the promise of God that we are looking forward for God to manifest in this time. The Holy Spirit has been so gracious to us to come down amongst us and have interpreted so much of his word already to put a faith in our hearts, to anchor our soul, and bring us to the realization that God is doing all this because he wants to interpret his word amongst us. Amen. He don't just want us to read it and rejoice in it and understand it alone, but he wants to manifest it and interpret it in our lives. The final interpretation of all word is in flesh. Amen. Amen. And when the written word is manifested, then it's really fulfilled. Because God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Amen. We have an understanding, a revelation that makes us look for it, makes us pray for it, makes us come under anticipation for it. It's the revelation that we have concerning the word makes us prepare for the promise. Amen. But when the word itself is interpreted, when it's manifested, that is the interpretation. Amen. Amen. Then it's finished. And we realize that from what we see in the word at this present time, we know God is getting ready to pour his spirit upon his people. Amen. And this will be the dynamics, which is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Those who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And those who have been filled with the Holy Ghost will be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And there's God's promise to his people. As to many as the Lord thy God shall call, even unto you and unto your children. Amen. And we're looking for even our little children to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. There might be 3 and 4 years, God promised to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody was asking the other night, but babies, why they should be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because they're born in sin like everybody else. Amen. Just being born in sin is not whether you steal or whether you're drunk. It's not whether you smoke or whether you lie. It's that your nature needs to be changed. Because you were born wrong to begin with. And with that nature, you are dying. And that nature is a carnal nature of the flesh that comes from your first birth. But eternal life, not just to hear the word, but it's to have the divine nature of God. Amen. Amen. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon the real believer to change the nature. Amen. See? Many people receive it, but they will have no nature to change. So they might work miracles, they might manifest gifts, but they wouldn't have no virtues. And because they have no virtues, they'd be a stumbling block. They'd be like a crow with peacock feathers. Amen. They'd have the gifts, but not the giver. But the real gift is the giver himself. It's the life itself. The gifts don't bring into identification with Christ. The life shows you identify with Christ. Amen. Because Jesus died, that the Holy Spirit could come back as a seal. Amen. Could come back to bring to life the seed that he put inside your soul. Amen. To quicken your mind to the promise of God. And this is where the Holy Spirit came back for to continue the work of Jesus Christ in the real church. And we know there's many people today on the earth, but the real church is on the earth also. And the Holy Spirit is upon many people, but the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the real church, continuing the work. Amen. And the real church, the elected believers that make up the body of Christ universally, the names that is upon the Lamb's Book of Life, the seed of God, but is planted in many different types of dirt. Is in Trinidad dirt, is American dirt, is in German dirt, because God, the world is the field. And they planted the wheat in the field. Amen. So all around the world, the dirt is there, and the seed was planted, and the prophets are a bride coming from all nations, marching on with Christian soldiers. So there's going to be a true bride, there's going to be a true wheat bride, where the seed have been planted. Amen. Because the rain was sent to water that seed. Many partook unrighteously because it was in the same field. The rain wasn't sent for the thorns and the thistles. It was sent for the wheat. But the thorns and the thistles was in the same field of the wheat. So they received water also. The sun came to ripen the grain that was in the field. But the thorns and the thistles in the field, so it matured them also. Amen. But the end is to be burned. But the end of the wheat that is matured, it shall be gathered together in the garner. Amen. So we know that there will be a real true church that will have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They'll be filled with all the fullness of God. We find Ephesians 4:11. God gives some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Amen. And that's the mystery right there. 2 Peter 1:4-7. Until we come to a perfect man. That's the mystery right there, what Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the mystery right there, where Eve is restored back to our rightful position, where we come back into our oneness with God, unto a perfect man. Unto the stature, the measure, the fullness of Christ. Amen. That God has poured these things. And that fivefold ministry will be in the earth. And doing that work, working to achieve that goal where there could be a perfect man on the face of the earth again. This is the goal that the bride has before her. She must come to perfection before the resurrection could set in. And perfection, maturity, ripeness. Her ripeness shall be her identification with her Lord. Amen. And then her ripeness would be Christ having the preeminence in her. Her ripeness would be the vindication that the fullness of the Holy Spirit could come to her because God's character is in her to receive the power of God. Amen. But before that takes place, God's put it in your heart as a revelation. Like Noah had a revelation that God is going to send rain upon the face of the earth. And Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move with fear and prepare the ark for the saving of his household. He moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. But he had a revelation to get him ready for the promise. And the revelation was his channel of inspiration. Amen. That was his channel of communication with God. The revelation produced an expectation in his life. Something that God inspired to his heart. Something about the time he was living in. Something about the people. Something that God had in his mind concerning the generation. God inspired to Noah because he found him perfect in his generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That God will find some people in this hour perfect in the genes. Your gene is a generation. And you are a chosen gene. Amen. A chosen generation. Amen. Amen. And God found it all right to inspire something to your heart concerning the generation. Amen. concern is what he's about to do. Shall I hide these things from Abraham? What I'm about to do. God always works that way. When the time of destruction is at hand, the Holy Spirit hunts out the elected seed. Searches to find them. Because God is concerned about his people. God loves his people. God cares about his people. God knows he put a seed in that dirt. God knows that will glorify him in the right season. He's a husbandman. He waters it. He prunes it. He nurtures it. Yeah. Amen. That could show forth his glory. And when the time of destruction knows at hand, he hunts them out and begins to reveal them and spar them like Noah. And then they become utter generation. They become different because they have something in their heart. They have a treasure in earthen vessels. Yeah. They have something they're meditating upon day and night. They have something inspiring them. Yeah. And the world, like Lot, is looking at Sodom. Yeah. And the beauty and the glamour of Sodom paralyzes faith. Yeah. Because he's a hawk and he's not an eagle. Amen. Amen. He is kindred to a real eagle. Yeah. Like a hawk is found with an eagle. Yeah. And he can't see the fire about to fall upon that place. But Abraham, the real eagle, who not on the telephone post, but who leave the pine screws already, way up in the heavens, could look and see coming judgment upon that place. Because he had something meant more to him than he esteemed greater riches than the beauty and the glamour of Sodom. Bible says Moses choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He took the way with the Lord despised few. Amen. Didn't care about being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. No, so he endured because he saw him who was invisible. He had in his corporal body, was in his theophany. But he appeared to Moses in a theophany. Like he appeared to a people and they have seen the invisible God. They understand he's here. Through the revelation of his word, they could make out the distinction of his voice and hear what he's saying to them. Because they're sheep, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. He reveals to them what he's doing upon the faces at this time. And that becomes the center of their life. That brings them into anticipation, into expectation for what is about to happen. And they look at Sodom, and their heart, they stand cry for the abominations in the city. They look and see the loved ones, different ones out there, trapped in Sodom, enjoying the pleasures of the world. And they realize that carnal nature does make a person enjoy the pleasure of the world. Because the crow feeds on anything because you have no gall. But a dove cannot feed on anything. When Noah let go of that dove, it went out there and couldn't find a place to land. It had to get back in the ark. But the crow went out there and brother, it was a delight. Amen. He realized he was caged up in the ark. Amen. But out there he was having a real gastronomical jubilee. Amen. Yeah. See, he's having a real good time. So much to eat outside there. But the dove, but it couldn't stay out there. And this is the believer. There is something about the believer. That they look there and they see the abomination of this world. And they knows God what is true. God will destroy it, will burn it, fire, destroy everything. They've seen the sign of coming judgment. They understand a prophet is a sign of coming judgment. Noah was a sign of coming judgment. Moses was a sign of coming judgment. John, Jesus was a sign of coming judgment. Amen. Abraham was a sign of coming judgment of Sodom. A prophet is always a sign of coming judgment. And we have seen a sign of coming judgment. And we have seen investigating angels of judgment that baffle the scientist's mind that they call UFOs. Yeah. But they are investigating angels of judgment in the heavens. And a prophet that said that coming judgment was on the earth. Amen. And the elected seed have been quickened to understand what is taking place and been warned of God of what is about to take place. They are moving with fear, preparing, making ready for this hour. Because one day, the doors will swing shut. Amen. And he that is filthy will be filthy still. And we saw that blast on seven angels, February 20th, 1963, in the heavens, a sign that the end of time seal had begun. A sign that the seventh seal is being opened quickly to pull the bride out. 1964, a whirlwind of fire dropped down on the mountain, ripped the mountain off. My, we can read about it in Exodus and imagine all kinds of things in our minds. And the same thing happened in Sabino Canyon. March 1964. Yeah. Amen. A whirlwind of fire ripped the mountain off and made three blasts. And said judgment striking the West Coast. And the prophet says judgments have begun in the earth. Amen. But God, hold it back a little bit. He wouldn't let it come in its fullness yet. But it started. But he has to get the elect out first. So he's trying quickly to get a hold of them in the days of the long suffering of God while the ark is being repaired. Amen. While the scoffers and the mockers fail to recognize that they're crossing the line of mercy right here and entering the judgment. Because when the doors close, the third pole will go to the total loss. And they will realize that no more people can be saved. It was finished. They had a time to be saved and they never recognized it. It was by the foolishness of preaching. But the heirs was tuned to something else. Amen. And then Esau will seek a place of repentance but won't be able to find one. He will cry with tears but won't be able to find one. Because why? He rejected the birthright for a morsel of meat. Amen. He made the wrong decision. He failed to recognize when that decision actually condemned him. Yeah. That if we don't have an understanding of the time that we are in, when that seventh seal was revealed, when that seventh age was blacked out, when that rock was thrown up in the air, what do all these things mean? Yeah. And here, years after, we see around the world insanity, the world groping into insanity. Quickly, people slipping into insanity. Amen. Amen. And the prophecy was going to come. 1965, you say about 1 degree from the world being plunged into total insanity. What is causing it? Television.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Radio.
Amen.
These comic books.
Yeah.
Cinemas. All this type of rock music and these things. Amen. Preparing the people for a blast. See? Get them ready. They actually, the soul is being perverted. The mind is being perverted because this is what the spirit feed on. But there's a bride. Jesus had a table spread for a bride. Amen. A secret place where she could be fed with pure water and pure food. No contaminated business. Where a soul could grow in the image of God by what she's feeding on.
Amen.
And those people's soul is not being grown in the image of God. It's being grown in the image of somebody else. Satan is designing them. Is Satan is the one feeding them? Is he the one getting them ready? You see? And here a bride is getting ready. Completely, totally sanctified, emptied out. And when God dropped down into that bride in his fullness, then there'll be a super church on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. A people that is complete prisoners to the word of God. Completely emptied out of itself. Completely surrendered to God's will. Because God have gotten a hold of their minds so he could influence them. He could bring them on this direction. Before you can influence somebody, you have to get a hold of the mind. And you have to bring their mind on the direction. But you have to attract them in order to catch the mind to bring it on the direction.
Amen.
Amen. And God is trying to attract us to get a hold of our minds. For your mind is a spiritual womb to get to your soul. Amen. That God could get the word down inside of there. But Satan too is trying to get a hold of your mind. And what Satan is doing on the outside, he designed this world to keep you in the realm of the five senses. To keep you in the physical realm where you're limited by your senses. Because the five senses are limited to the physical world. See, taste, smell, hear, and touch. Five senses of the physical body cannot go beyond this physical world. The only thing to take you beyond there is faith. Revelation. Another sense. The sense of the soul. Not your body or your spirit. Sorry, the sense of your soul to go beyond this physical realm. And Satan is fighting the battle here, in this realm here. To hold you here. To get your mind in the channel where he could influence you. Where to your mind he could plant seeds. And bring your soul to a place where he could control you. See? Where he could be brainwashed and totally under his influence. Amen. Amen. I remember once I was seeing a picture called to this audience be out in the world. And this picture, they had this spy. I always tell this. And they had this spy where they had captured him. And they wanted to program him and send him back, you know. So he was American, and they programmed him, and they were sending him back as an American, but the mind would be a Russian mind when they finished with him. He'd be American by body. They might know him and all these things, see. But when they hold him and they drug him and this, and they program him, then he'd go back there, take up his citizenship as normal, but then his mind would be a Russian mind, be able to control him and get what they want out of him. And this is what Satan have done with the people. Today, that's what Balaam says. He says, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is still here today. Yeah. Now, the people in denomination, they think the tree of knowledge of good and evil was a natural tree you're going to eat something off of. Yeah. But he said, for every man that died, he had to eat over that tree. Yeah. And for every man that lived, he had to eat over another tree, the tree of life. And those two trees here today. Yeah. But because the organization cannot see that wasn't a physical tree. They are eating over the tree that they don't even know. Yeah. That is an education of the devil. Yeah. It don't mean no son of a child in school. But they put the emphasis on the education and it put the mind on another channel that where it twists the mind and they don't think how God is think. It makes the mind not receptive. It makes the mind in a way that it is a I repent towards the thoughts of God. Yes. It can't accept it. Yes. You see? It developed a reasoning pause. And many people, you find they might be a teacher, go to school and different things, and they want to do a job, and they go and get a job as a teacher. And they go to an institution, they train to be a teacher. Now what, as far as they're seeing, they just go in to get a job and teach. But Satan is training them now to go and control other younger minds. Yeah. See? And then when they have the school, they have a different way that they design how they should teach the children. Yeah. Then every seminary, everybody have their own seminary and their own doctrine. Seminaries have their own doctrine. Methodists have their own doctrine. Baptists have their own doctrine. Catholics have their own doctrine. Everybody have their own doctrine. And they have the seminary where a man is going there. And when he comes back out, his thoughts is complete seminary thoughts. Yeah. And he sees scriptures through that channel. And he goes to get a whole lot of people's minds to bring them to that channel. Yeah. Because when he went in there, he had been brainwashed. Yeah. Not saved. So you see, all this is a mass plan of the enemy. It's a mass plan of Satan. He have designed the political world. He have designed the religious world. He have designed this moral society, this society here. All these things are plans. It's not the world is how it is, you know. Satan designed it so in this hour, so it will be able to be effective to trap the minds of the people. These things is things that is planned. It is every
You see, for 6,000 years, he had a plan to build an Eden. And what he had been building is something, you don't go and build something without a plan. Because when God had his Eden, God had a plan, and he built his Eden too. But then Satan came and realized that being the adversary of God, he came now and he tried to pervert that to trap the ones who that was created for. You see? So being a type of civilization here that would keep us in a certain realm, that we'd be able to control our minds. He would influence us, our lives. He might make us feel innocent about many things. He might make us feel not guilty about many things. But then the great plan is to control this world, to be the God of this world. You see? And here we've been born into a world like this. We must understand what this world is all about. It comes like when you, let's say, for instance, you go to Russia, or you go to Venezuela, one of them places, where people talk another language, where you have never been, they have different customs. Maybe all your life in Trinidad, you end up wanting Russia. You grew up under democracy, up there is communism, it's a different way of life, they have different customs, all the Russian background, they have the Russian, all the Russian culture and everything. And when you go up there now, you just land there one day, to get around would not be easy. You have to understand where you're going, what they do, how they live, what days you could travel to certain places, what days you could visit certain places, what the right days to shop, how to survive and live there. You have to understand, learn the language and these things. Yeah. Well, the same way a person is born in the earth here. Amen. When you're born in the earth here, you have to understand what this earth is all about. Because when you're born this earth, it's not there the earth starts. You come into civilization here, but civilization you come into here, it would have been going on for thousands of years already. And it's climax. And you might grow up in here, like many of our parents, they are never here with disco and all this kind of thing in their day. They're here in that today. You see? And today now, these things come out. The young parents today, let's say the young people who have children, and who might not be influenced by the past generation. Day to day is attractive thing to let the children go to these places. Yeah. See? Go out there and they walking home with a big album with all the rock music and these things. But they don't know that on those rock music is certain things there to get a hold of their mind and get them possessed by evil spirits. Yeah. They don't have the inspiration to see the heroes is drug addicts and homosexuals, all kind of perverted people. Amen. See, like I read some of the papers, it's all the Rolling Stones and so much thousands of people in some place and how they're making this comeback and different things. You see? And that they are people heroes. It's all the Bob Marley and all kind of that's the heroes. But this is all kind of perverted, blind people who is completely outside the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. They've been influenced by the devil. Amen. And they put out a mess and all the different things there, and somebody hold it, and it's fashionable. Yeah. So Satan designed many things to get into to the people and make it fashionable, make it enticing, make it attractive for them to receive. But on that is seeds to get the mind. All these fashionable models in them today. Penny and all these other people there. That one they call Zsa Zsa or something. So, you see? These are demons from hell. Yeah. But people don't know that at all. Because why? When they put one of that picture in the papers there, and they have certain designers designing the fashions for them to wear it. And the designer getting inspiration from somewhere. And by what he's designing, and what the Bible tells him should be dressed by, we know it's not God's inspiration. And then they have the models to display these things. Now what is going is to get at the minds, to get at the young minds, because they have people there now who growing up in this world and don't understand what it's all about. You see? To understand that this train that Columbus discovered is there, they know. And once and that is right, that is history, yes. But this Satan's Eden. This fallen angel, the castle, come down here. Build it to Cain's lineage. To the line of the serpent seed, inspiring them to put it out here in a materialistic world. It's a web. It's like a dragnet. And God, this is selling constantly gifted people, truly inspired people to preach the word, to break them in front of the set, the elect from every age. Is that going to be on? Preaching that, really the message here, trying to bring into some church, indoctrinate you with some church teaching, and then, no, it's not that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the one of the greatest powers of the devil is to make something look so harmless and so innocent when it's the most deadly. Yeah. That's because as the prophet says in his own words, he said, never underestimate the power of the enemy to deceive. Yeah. Never underestimate the power of the enemy to deceive. Yeah. To get a hold of the minds of the people. And influence. Even the enemy have infiltrated the message. Yeah. And have transformed men as ministers of righteousness. Yeah. And in those men, because why? Have some people, the natural birth, and the upbringing, they don't like the world. In the sense of the real revelry kind of business. And they have a more religious flavor. You see, and Satan know to get a hold of them too, so he have a religious channel too. And the religious channel is more effective, his religious channel, than the political one, the one out in the world. Because in here, he's getting people to believe they're saved when they're not even saved. Getting people to believe they're Christians when they're not even Christians. Isn't that what he said in Satan Eden? Satan this day is making them believe they're Christians when they're not Christians. It's a real power to do that. So we just said, but think about the power it takes. Well, where I want you to know, once somebody's not in the truth, draw a revelation by a new birth. Then they are believing that Christian is not a Christian. When you be born again to be a Christian. And then you find out the real baptism of the Holy Ghost. So few Israeli Christians. Unless that word will be interpreted in your life, and you can follow that continuity, no Christian. You see? So there has been some power deceive them to be a Christian and make them feel they are a Christian. And this is what's happening here. And that is why, you see, today we have to understand what is happening, because the brainwashing of these things is on a high level. And the preaching today, what looks so nice, like people want to save people, many times is people getting a hold of people's minds, not saving them. True. To control them. Yeah. And destroy them. Because the deception would be a religious deception. Amen. So that's why you'll have to be watching it. Because the real power to receive would be in the religious realm. True. See? And this is where you find the Holy Spirit would have to give us revelation. So that we'll not be brainwashed. We'll not be indoctrinated. But we'll generally be born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Be part of the body of Christ, controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. You see? And you find that what be happening there, take for instance, look how much false anointed ones in the end time is bringing people to take the mark of the beast by preaching the Trinity doctrine. Yeah. Now they don't go to save the people. That's the Palos rider riding the people to hell. That is dead there. Yeah. That's what that is. But then there's a revelation where God is gathering his bride too. Amen. Seven thunders, not twinkling like frogs, but seven spirits of God come up to the mountain, the 254 ministry, to gather the bride together. To bring the bride to a place where she cannot be influenced by no other influence than by God himself. Amen. Where God will be the head of the church. Amen. You see the great battle here. Because people be so fine to the church and they mean from their man. Read so far and don't even have a revelation that this word is God here. This is your influence. You see, the word is your influence. The word is your head. He's the bridegroom. Amen. That's why they see the same way. Put on a political party and indoctrinate people with the all the different political aspirations and these things, what they desire and the plans and these things. And people will receive that and absorb that and become committed and loyal and faithful to the party. It's the same way if I'm in church, they say I'm born a Catholic, I'm dead a Catholic, I'm born, I'm dead that. And why? Because it's a seed they receive the air. It's a life being produced. They can't help being so. You see? And there's a seed of God too, that God is sowing at the same time. Because there's two sowers. You see? And that seed that God is sowing, you have to first get a hold of people's minds. So you have to do something, make attract them, to stop them in the tracks. Then get a hold of the mind. Let it reckon hear his voice. Amen. Then he can bring them on his influence. Then they know what he wants to do, what he's trying to achieve. So then they come into church. It's not a community church or in the group or join this movement. No. God influenced the leadership of the Holy Spirit, bring you to a promise, bring you to interpret something in your life, bring you to a relationship, bring you to be a prisoner, bring you to possess you, your entire being, where you have no thoughts of your own, where you didn't think like the people of the world. You know, you're not in control by your education you learn in school, your logic. He cleared all your reason, your conscience, he bloody flews out, and the word rules from your heart inside of there. That is what we're trying to get there. When we come there, then we have an objective before us. Then we know what God is working to achieve. Then we'll be committed to that. Then we'll be dedicated. Then we'll be faithful to that. Then we'll strive to be persistent. Because we realize every other thing is an obstacle. Then we can break through the song barrier. So much voices in the world today. So much people say all kinds of different things today. So that it leaves so much minds confused. But if we can break through the song barrier to hear his voice, for him to speak to us and make plain to us what he have come down to do. Like we told Moses, I am come down, Moses, and I heard the cries of my people, Moses, and I see the affliction by reason of the taskmasters, and I am going to deliver them, Moses, and I am sending you, Moses, and I'll be in you, bringing them out of a mighty hand right back to this holy mountain. Make plain what is in his mind. The word is unspoken. It's out in the heart. It's settled. But some people hear the message there. They believe it until something confused them. They believe it until they get enticed. They believe it until they meet some obstacle or trial. Sometime a testing. But it's people will come to a place to have an objective before us, what we are about to do. So quickly here tonight, when we take this here, let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us consider. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, and let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works. Now watch. Now last week, the Holy Spirit speaking amongst us here, revealing certain things in the Word, and we picked back up the inspiration in the book of Joshua. And we begin to preach there to get the minds of the people to catch something. Not just teach a Bible. Not just teach a different thing. Not just preach a message. But we're trying to get your spirit caught up into a place where your eyes will not be dim no more. Your eyes will be enlightened. You'd see by our understanding of the Spirit of God. See? And you'd understand what the Holy Spirit is working to achieve. What is the objective that God has at this present time? What it is we have to make ourselves available unto? Then we'll know what our enemies are.
We know who our enemies are. We know our enemy ourselves, but we'll see where, what part of us, where is our attitude, where we lack respect, where is something here, where are we not consecrating ourselves enough, where we talk too much. Where we'll see what is keeping us back. You see, we'll find a place and break it down. We come like where Joshua says, stop. And the Holy Spirit is going to search the camp. We have to find Achan. No, Achan is not somebody here. Achan is that thing in you that hinders you from having the victory. See? From having the victory. The thing is, you that call you not to be effective in battle. The thing is that disuniting you from God. That have God on the, like the little dove on the branch, and waiting for you to get right to get come back there. That thing inside of there. Because what's something? We want to come to a place where every individual, that's why we begin to anchor this on prayer. We begin to bring it to a place on prayer. To get every individual to a place. When you have a revelation, you become obsessed with the revelation, then your speech, your effort, your sacrifice, your everything is to the place to make yourself completely available to the Holy Spirit. That is what you want. Because we are convinced that God's word is true. We are convinced the message is true. We are convinced that the promises are for now. We are convinced that he's going to interpret in this hour here. We believe, hear us talking now, that it's going to happen inside our lives. Amen. And we are trying to get those who believe to be convinced. They're going to really happen now. Now is the time for it. And we are trying to search out the things that we believe that if we could get it out of the way, we could see it begin to multiply itself. We could see what we have seen for the last 5 months happen at certain intervals, certain manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy the enemy. Things happen miraculously like that. Like people in the hospital being healed like that. By a word, by inspiration. God do something. But it must not be misunderstood why God did that. That could come to such a flow that we could see faith lift itself in a higher bracket. We could see that begin to multiply itself amongst us. Flow to the those in the laity. Amen. Flow to the real believers. We could see it come to that place. And whatever we see that is a hindrance, you want to take that as your enemy. And slate utterly destroyed. Amen. That God could put the kind of attitude in your heart. Amen. That by a revelation of the Holy Spirit, forget your desire, forget your reasoning. When the Holy Spirit showed that I is not of God, start a prayer for a hatred. Amen. A intense burning hatred that would make you want to kill that, regardless of what pain it costs you. Amen. Regardless of what pain it costs you. Regardless if you feel wounded and broken and crawl in a corner and hide after, it will bring the victory. And what you're persuading is not some little thing that will keep you nice and satisfy your mind and make you feel fleshly nice for a few more days on the earth. But something that will make eternity certain for you. We'll make the rapture certain for you. We'll make the millennium certain for you. We'll make the new city certain for you. Something will make that certain for you. That you have it here in your hand. You are persuaded. But may that we see those things and the Holy Spirit show it to us there in the service. And you walk away. You see yourself in the glass and you forget what you look like when you walk away after. As James said, a man look in the glass, see himself, and walk away and forget what you look like. So you want to forget what it looked like. If it's something to be done, you wouldn't do it. Then how to stay under the inspiration to maintain the right atmosphere until we get the job done. You don't get started to do something, set yourself towards something, and then that spirit leave you. And then you can't get a Holy Spirit again to continue. So you have a lot of unfinished things all over. A lot of loose ends left to be tied up all over. A lot of things you start and stop, start and stop. A lot of things. A lot of spiritual things in your life. But you could come to a place then to keep that spirit. And when you're really convinced, and you really have the burden for it, and you really see the necessity of that have to be removed, regardless of how small it is, remember the little things keep us back, not the little things, that then we could stay there until we see those things diminish completely. That when you're looking for something in your life, you really search and search and search and search and search, and can't find it, till it's really gone. Not search and look and say, that don't really mean that. That's only a little thing. Could be a little Amalekite. Next 2 weeks, it might be big and strong. Might be a certain person who's hiding in the attic whenever you hear the word preach. And after a certain season, you take it back out and you feel the word forget that. We don't want to bury nothing. We don't want killing it. Amen? Amen. But when we come down here now, then we may say, if you really want it, if you really want the promise, if you really earnestly believe, if you, and it takes a lot of honesty. It takes more honesty than just trying to say something and look sincere. It takes a kind of honesty then that you'll question yourself. And when I say question yourself, I mean talk to your desires.
Yes.
Amen. Ask your desires. You like it? Say, answer me. You like it? You say, yes, you like it. See? And you know you like it, but have to move.
Amen.
You see? I have to remove it because of a hindrance. Because why? I want that to be replaced with God. God has something to put here. God have a lot of things, but you don't have to pack up on a shelf. You want to put it in the right place in your life. But unless you get the other old things out, what might be nice in your eyes because the spirit and the atmosphere you are, they look nice.
Yeah.
But when you watch and see what God have, and you understand that God has given us number antique. God has something to use to be beneficial in his kingdom, to assist others.
Yeah.
But maybe that them thing you have, you don't need to satisfy you and can't assist nobody else.
Yeah.
But what God want to give you is assist other people, to help others, weaker ones. You see, to glorify him. And then you're going to know if you're really selfish.
Amen.
If the little thing you have is just to please you, yourself to keep you nice. See? We want to come to a place where you can have that kind of honesty. Because there is no real death outside of pain. Outside of pain. It takes pain to die. And we are going to feel pain. So you're trying to anoint you and get you ready to take pain.
Amen.
I will not tell you yes. You know, the nice, sweet kind of. You go down, yes, Lord, yes, everything's all right. Father, come in your hands. And you see? And you get pain gone. And you feel no pain. It never left. It just, they just see that. When you get pain, you must walk different.
Amen.
When you sit next time, you must start to treat like an enemy from the next day. Amen.
Amen.
No, that's only to show you our attitude, how much you really want what God has revealed and vindicated and identified and show us is available for us.
Amen.
That we are going over to receive these things. Talking about our inheritance. But then, notice before the inheritance, he said, all right, within 3 days. God never says start right away. No, he said within 3 days. Because within that 3 days, that's something to do. That I get myself ready. Prepare to inherit. We're talking about getting you ready, preparing to inherit. Amen?
Amen.
Let me take something quickly here out of perseverance. You see, that's why I told you we want to the Wednesday night and Friday night have the service like this or you can have an exhortation and prayer. But the exhortation and prayer, it is to be concentrated on what is really taking place. That we could, as a church, as an individual, when you leave here, you try to keep in the inspiration. But as a church, when we gather together, we're trying to maintain a certain atmosphere. See, we're trying to stay in a certain channel as a body of believers here. And we believe God is dealing with us for the past few years and is bringing us now to a place to manifest His word. So, He says, all men down through the ages have already been able to achieve. They are persistent. If they have faith in what they are trying to achieve, it depends on what the achievement is. Depends on what you are trying to do, whether you are persistent or not. How much faith you got in what you are doing. We must have faith in God. This perseverance, page 6. You see, now perseverance means to be persistent, to try to make a goal. You've got your mind set on something, and you are persistent in it because you believe it is the thing that you want. And you believe you can get it. To be persistent, you say, now you've got your mind made up now what you are going to do. Now, you cannot have faith in God without knowing the word of God or knowing something about God. See, so page 11 here. He said, persistent, trying to achieve something. All man down through the ages have been that way. Take, for instance, Noah. Noah was very persistent after he had found the will of God. Now you have got to first find the will of God. The will of God is to know the word of God, to know, to have a revelation of what God wants done for now. And that is why when we believe the inspiration of the word that we take in there from Joshua and Ephesians, showing you what God wants done now, God will now. Prepare and get ready to inherit your promise. Amen? So now then, that is before us. That is God's will concerning us. That is what God wants to interpret amongst us. And this is what we're trying to make ourselves available to. This is what we're trying to keep our minds focused on. This is what we believe that God has got a hold of our minds now and trying to influence us now. Amen? So the first thing you have to do, find what God's will is. And then if you really have received the seed in your heart, then you can be persistent. There's nothing going to move you, no matter what wisdom man tries to say, it's not so, and it's not this and that, the other. It doesn't move you one iota because you know what the will of God is. You spoke it into your heart. Your faith sets there and holds it right on, no matter if there is no more than like a grain of mustard seed, it will bring you right out to the place. Amen. And speaking here about page 29, about the Syrophoenician woman. He says she had many hindrances. This poor little woman did. She had many hindrances, but her faith didn't have any. Amen. She wanted something from Jesus. She saw him there. She knows he could give it to her. And he says she had many hindrances, but her faith didn't have any. No, she heard. Faith had took a hold. She heard and her faith took a hold. And these who've been here in these past seasons, they're identified by the Holy Spirit. Then whether your faith taking a hold of these things, whether when the word is being preached to you and showing you Joshua and the man of Jordan, Moses went off the scene, inspiration come, seven seals open up to go into our inheritance. What does that mean to you when you hear that? How does it affect you? How does it strike you? Why was that place in the Bible? Let me show you something. You know Joshua crossing over the Jordan to go into the inheritance. That part of the story was placed in the Bible. But it couldn't preach by nobody else hardly than by the early church there and by here now. That could only be preached after Moses came off the scene. And like the early church, after Jesus went off the scene, then they that was there to relate to them for that present time, that they could understand how God is going to deal with them. God in His word laid out here that we can understand how God is going to deal with us when a certain season reaches. All we have to do is find a place where our experiences identify, where our example is, and we'll have a channel to know how God is going to deal with us in this season. That is there for for inspiration, for instruction in righteousness. That will be perfected, will be made ready. That's why that is put in the Bible. That isn't just a read history about what happened back in that day alone. That is to let us know now when we come in to possess an inheritance. how we are to be made ready to receive these things. See? So if these things have been affecting you the right way, now we come into a place then you're interested, because you know then, remember when they was going in there was judgment. Souls that were in prison now. You see what I'm talking about? Was souls in prison now. When they was going to possess inheritance, was about finish. You see many people walking out in the street carrying on. They're alive in their bodies, but most of them dead in the soul. And you believe the word of God with the soul. They will hear it there, but they can't believe it. Because there's nothing down there. See? He said she had heard, her faith took hold. Now they might have said to her, you know you are a Greek. You know you'll never get nothing because there's segregation, see? You'll never get nothing here. But she didn't pay no attention to that. No, sir. She had faith, and that faith was all she needed, because she knew that that was the word of God standing there. Some of them might have said to her like this, but wait a minute. Her own nation, her own church might have said, now wait a minute, there's a miraculous birth. Don't go wrong there. But something and not about faith. It has a source that don't pay any attention to that. Something about faith. Faith is finding a source that others just know nothing about. If that faith is in your heart tonight, don't try to approach God without faith, you know. Don't try to approach God with this without faith, no. Don't try to approach God there without sincerity, that you really want that promise and you're willing to make the sacrifice. Don't even approach God unless that is not settled in your heart first. Because you only go in sincerely for God. If in your heart you don't want the inheritance, and your heart you're willing to make the sacrifice, don't even approach God. If you don't believe it's for you, don't even approach God. Because what your prayer, it would have no life to motivate it. We have no power behind the prayer. You look at it saying, Lord, you know, Lord, I really want to die to myself. You really mean that? And God will say, you don't mean that? You know you don't mean that? He said, Lord, I really believe this promise. Lord, you really believe that? But what about that? Yeah. What are you left undone there? All of this you have to do there. All of that you have to do there. All of that you have to do there. You want the truth? Go and claim that truth. Yeah. Yes. You see, if you want it. Now, maybe we have something like this. I said, all right, we're trying to get ourselves ready now. Trying to spend a few days. Consecrate ourselves before the Lord. Come into your church here before God. Speak the word to you. Let you understand what we're doing. And you get them before the Lord. And then you watch that. And somebody is going to say, yes, Lord, so and so. And so. Because like a commandment, go and do so and so. Yeah. But in your heart, you're fired if you really want those things. If you believe those things. If you feel you could get it outside of paying the price. You can't influence God. God's the requirement to meet. Amen. So she had done pick up the word. He's the word. She had faith to hold it. She walked on. They might have laughed at her. Well, everybody else is going to laugh at you. Because your daughter will be just as sick next year as she is this year. She still have the devil. She's just sick. She didn't pay no attention to that. Faith had a hole. You'll put over the church if you go over there in one of that. Just remember, they'll put you out. They'll excommunicate you. That didn't mean anything to her. Faith went over the top of that. Amen. She was determined to get to Jesus. Don't want perseverance. It means to be persistent, to achieve something, to make a goal. What we come here for? We striving to achieve something. We have a goal before us. We meet obstacles? Yes, many of them. Amen. But only when you know His will, then you can be persistent. Then you can recognize what your obstacles are and know His obstacles. Amen. When she got to Jesus, she still got a disappointment herself, but not a faith. When she got to Jesus, he said, I'm not sent to your race. What a flat rejection. I'm not sent to you people. Just think, the one she thought she had so much faith in, he turned her down. I'm not sent to you people, I'm only sent to Israel. You are a Gentile. I'm not even sent to you. And besides, you are not my dogs. Woo! That didn't bother her faith. She just kept moving on. Yes, sir? Said, I'm just sent to the Lordship of Israel. No, if that would have been one of us, oh my, that would have been it. Your denomination, there's nothing there. Oh, he talk about my denomination. I'll never hear him again. There you are. Go ahead. You'll never get nothing. See? Just stay with that word. Where that word is, go right with it. Faith and anchor. She know there laid help. She had heard. Faith come by hearing what the word.
She knew there was something real here. Yes, she still held on. No matter if she no, remember, I'm not sending to you. The father never sent me to you, Gentile, you bunch of dogs. Do you think I take children better and cast over to you, bunch of woody dogs? I'm not sending to you. But her faith still held right here. Then go to my back. You come. You go there. You pray. My mind, I can't concentrate. See? I'm feeling sleepy. Devil want to fight me. You ready for nothing yet? The slightest obstacle you meet, you turn you back? She tell a man, the Shunammite woman say, saddle the mule and slack not your riding, stop for no man. But when you determine to get something, they were trying to bring you here for God to get a hold of our minds to influence us, to show us what it is have to be achieved, to bring an objective before us, and then we can be persistent with one objective in our minds, one thing set before us is to achieve that. And nothing is going to hinder us. We are gone. We are going to zero in on that promise. Concentrate right there. And better pray and bring that into existence. Amen. Because the faith of our hearts believes that is for us. Amen. You heard from a theophany? You seen him in the book? That is what God promises our. And without it, you didn't see a name. You get mistaken? Are you not just going to say, I see me when I buy and keep the promise? You shouldn't even see nothing to begin with. Because to get that promise is to vindicate you. As I said the other night, you're only making claims now. What we making is claims. That's what we're making right now. We're making claims. But we have something to make claims with. And because we believe that what we have is what to make, what we should make the claims with, we are in expectation that the claims you are making would be answered. That God will send the fire. He said, brother, you think, he said, she was a hothouse plant? No. She had to be babied, petted along like somebody cropped today. Oh my, well, I'll never go again. This is all that I state. Oh my, you wonder you can't, he said, no wonder you can't hold this sort of faith. No wonder you compromise in the words. You go somewhere where you can hear some kind of little 65, something put together. You little hothouse plant, you. Probably a little hothouse plant, you. Don't have a baby, then they can't take the hot sun. First little bug strike you, it kills you. You have to be sprayed all the time. Oh, you don't believe that stuff? It's a devil spray. You see a tenderfoot? She wasn't, brother, she was sturdy. She was really had something. She held on. What did she do? She admitted he was right. A real true faith. Listen, whether it cuts your organization or not, it will admit the truth. Whether it tears to pieces, it will admit the truth. Whether it break it on and mash it up, you'll admit the truth. He said, you dog, these are for you? He said, that is true, Lord. But even the dogs eat from the crumb that fall on the table. She didn't criticize me. I ain't going back there, no. Sometimes he is tense if you really want it. Do something that offend you a little bit. See if you're quick to get offended. See if you're a hot out plant or a tender foot. Or see if you're real sturdy. Amen. If you have faith, and it's the word of God, the promise, no matter what the other say, you believe it. You admit it. That's the truth, Lord. I'm a Greek. I'm unworthy. I'm a dog. I'm unworthy of anything. But I'm only after the crumbs. Amen. Amen. See? Only after the crumbs. I wonder if you have a Kong Dong here as we close out here. Page 14. He says, God is able to achieve something by his spirit-filled people who has hungered and thirsting. And those that would stay with the word. Now if Wesley hadn't stepped out on the word and got a bad name behind him, was called a crazy man and everything else, he would not have been able to achieve. To be persistent to achieve something. What are you trying to achieve? What is revealed to us that is available to us today? That the Holy Spirit is bong is now loose. Amen. Amen. See? But Wesley, one of God's great scientists, Luther, one of God's great scientists, they didn't care what the church said. They didn't care what the organization said. Luther didn't care what the Catholic said. He believed the just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. He took God's chemicals of the word and put it together. And the church moved by faith. Wesley put it together by the blood and they proved by the blood. Church got sanctified. Pentecostal believed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That it's promised even to your children that are far off. And they put the chemicals together out of the word and they move into the air. Now, why did this man do this? Why did Luther find it? Why did Wesley find it? Why did the others? Because the material was laying here on earth that could make a team model for. Where are we finding that there's an inheritance? Where are we finding there's seven seals of hope? Where are we finding there's a Joshua commission? Where are we finding there's a second cycle? In the word. Where are we finding a final quickening? In the word. Now, if we find it there in the word, then it's put in there when the word has been spoken for since the beginning. It was laying there to be found in the season. God is going to send people to be inspired to pick up those things. Yeah. To achieve something. Amen. When God is creating the heavens and the earth, he put everything here to make a motor car. Yeah. But he just had no man until Henry Ford came. Amen. Then he was a spiritual scientist. He broke into the inspiration and he found all the material to make a motor car right there. And while he was in the horse and buggy age, and they had needed transportation, and the horse and buggy couldn't meet the challenge of the hour. They had to get something more. A man rose up and got inspiration, took the material that was laying there in the earth right there, and make a motor car and sell the need for that day. Yeah. Met the challenge of the hour. Amen. God's the creator, he had it laying there. But man who believed in the scientific realm of the natural, probing it, and they wouldn't take no for an answer. They believed it was a revelation they had, and they stayed with it until they proved it was right. That's how John Wesley proved sanctification. He spiritualized it now. He said, that's how John Wesley proved sanctification. When this word was being put together by God, God himself spoke it out and laid there, here. And the material was laying there. And the church needed to be sanctified. And then God had a man named John Wesley, and he broke into the inspiration, and he found a revelation there that met the challenge of the hour. It's something that God had to put here for this hour. Before we could have come to the promise, listen to me. Before we could have known about the dynamics of the Holy Ghost. Before we could have seen the corner of come back and mature again. Before we could find the final quickening of the rapture. Before we could find there's a great display in the last book actually written again. There had to be some material laying there in the earth to tell us that it could be done. And we found that material there. Yeah. We didn't go and find out the space. We find it in the word. Amen. They found it right in the earth. Amen. In the natural realm. And they put it together. Amen. They believe it. And it was a revelation that they stayed with it until they proved it was right. They stayed with it until they proved it was right. But I remember years ago, I used to be taking the same thing. I said, I'm going to stay with this until it comes to pass. I'm going to stand here like Einstein and them in the laboratory. Until they split the atom and make the atom bomb. Because then a revelation can be done. Amen. They discover an atom there. Through the experiment, they found a kind of power was in the atom. Amen. Malachi 4 found some kind of power in this world that could create squirrels. Right in this Bible here. Amen. And he rightly divided the world and put it together and brought these things to pass. Then he laid out the message in the books and the tapes for 15 years. And people wanted to come back by the power laying on the books and tapes to speak things into existence, because when the squeeze comes, you will see it manifested. So God has scientists in the laboratory to find these things and bring it together by divine revelation. And we'll experiment it right here in the church and see it begin to walk before it goes on the outside. Amen. And by revelation, God let us see. How will you see him in the book? How will you have faith in the word? What does inspire faith when the season comes? How will you see a check that shows these things? It was God revealing these things. Then that situation is going to go to inspiration and he destroyed growth, hemorrhoids. Amen. But God to perfect these things in his people. God to have it in such a fullness. But where when this was happening, we are seeing what God is really doing. We are seeing what God is emphasizing, what God meant. And when we see it, we get convinced it could be done. It could be achieved. We get a spark. You can imagine this man when he's working on that electric bulb, Thomas Edison, in a laboratory, all the lamp light and smoky lamp shade and these things. And he had a revelation. But that electricity in the atmosphere there. And being to study it in these things. You're trying to make the electric bulb. Day and night, you've been in the room. You want to get the key to that mystery. Amen. Get God in his spine. Amen. Able to put the revelation together. And maybe testing the first bulb. And maybe the first bulb might be some big thing until they have it real nice today. You see? They're improvising it, you see? So then coming through here now, we get in certain things to come together and give a certain effect, create a certain atmosphere that the Holy Spirit can move. We understand when you come to service what it means. Why, Brother Ramsey, we saying, come in prayer. We understand the revelation behind those things. What is preaching the word for the season? How you do that? How to see yourself in the word, in like any position? All these things what we understand, and through that, we need to break into a certain atmosphere. So we get an inspiration, we're going to open up things amongst us. Because while we're working along spiritual lines, we're trying to obey these spiritual laws to see these things happen. See? And then now we're going to see these things now. What anticipation it could be, we know we're nearing discovery. From what we have seen, to get the work perfectly without a flaw, to put the finish product there. We know we close it because from what we've seen coming along. We can do the perfect thing now. The one I'm going to put on the market is the refined, proven, tested, guaranteed one. Hallelujah. See? So here for 15 years, spiritual scientists in the laboratory working with the chemicals of the world, trying to get things together. You see? Trying to bring things out there that we could see. And understand right in the church, you all, who is part of what is going on. You're seeing things begin to happen. Things rising. Things taking place. See? God, use people right here amongst us. See? To experiment on. Yes! He'll let the devil afflict people with certain things right here. To use them to experiment it on. To get them to believe in their own self. Amen. You, by inspiration, give us a preaching that sees before it's afflict them. So we can look for it. So when you afflict them, we can react to it. You say, try it out. Good. You respond nice. Good. All right. See? But you have to get the perfect thing outside there. You see, still get shake out. See? Because I when the Wright brothers come on the plane, first time the man go up in the sky. At that different law, they don't want on the ground no more. See? They get this mushing up in the air to fly. And there's braving of that courage to step out. Amen. In the natural realm. That revelation they had. To step out the air. Because they're persuaded of the inspiration they think could work. They put their life on it. They prove it and test it. Many, before the whole set came. And that travel by plane, everybody want to travel now. See? But before that happened, you know what's going on? A few people saying, if God or man fly, they get a wing. See, that's for birds. Because they're afraid to step out. Man, the people speaking tongues to me. No, look at the world on the floor. You see? Because when the Methodist was in the Pentecostal age, it was rarely people in motor car. I was seeing people flying, you know, in aeroplane, you know. And when Abraham came, he, the Pentecostals were flying along the aeroplane for all, from 96 to 46, they were flying along. But here comes a spiritual astronaut now, breaking Earth's atmosphere and going down to space. And then Pentecostal said, not me. That man going too far. I could hardly see him, you see? I better sit and play and fly around here, you see? But he had courage to believe it could be done. He saw revelation in the Word. He saw there's going to be a super church that's going to be manifested sons in these last days. He saw God going to bring back an Eden here. He wasn't afraid to test it and step out. He didn't be called a fanatic. But you know, afterwards, it will catch on. People start to believe. Look at what was believed today. Look what was here today. Testing out the thing and launching out too. When he studied those great men, when he studied the right brothers, how they had to go first. When he studied Henry Ford, man said, God is God, God of nature, boy. God will make motor car. If God wanted man, you see, I can sell my horse and buggy. You see? But no, it was a new age, it was something more. And here we are tonight. What we see now, we try to take the same spiritual laws that he used to achieve his achievement. My, if somebody, look at it. Today is our medicine. You hear, big formula 44 silentium. Nobody knows silentium is, you know. That's somebody send the bottle. You can't lie. You guys see what it composed of. You don't know what formula 44 mean. You just go in the shop and buy it. You don't want that. I hear my neighbor say the ticket lasts in the cold pass immediately. Your ticket is working. You ain't going to tell, not me. I go make my own silentium 44. You see? So you get all different greeters. You watch all different phosphorates, so calcium, carbohydrate, all kind of things. And you ain't doing that? That doesn't prove to be working, so you're using it. Glory. You want to check out, you see? So if you do that in the natural, somebody make a recipe, you're, like these new men, they cut a little recipe out of a book. And they see 2 cups of something, and they obey the recipe, and they come out good. They ain't going to try another thing next time. They stay with that recipe, because it's working. The person who can give a recipe, that'll make something in that recipe and prove it correct to get a recipe, you know? Yeah. Otherwise, you got bogus and put it out there. Yeah. See? So what God do? This third pull, all this wasn't just going to happen just so. Yeah. Was a mystery, was something he catch a revelation, he worked by and produced these things. Yeah. And when we see that now, we don't achieve the same thing. Like the scientists, they put a man on the moon the first time. And before that, certain scientists had to come and certain physicists have to come, certain man who on different things in the atmosphere, who are mechanics, who are technician, who are more electrical, different things. And they're all different experts together. And electrical man, he's all electrical things. Get the mechanical man, all mechanics. The next one, who are out of space, you know, different things. The whole radar control, everybody is expert in their own field. And they put all the things together there. You see? And then they make different tests. And it test proof to work. When it test proof to work, they go and discard that and try and next thing to launch off it now, you know. If what have proven to work, they go and work by that now. And especially when it works perfectly, like we should do the Columbia. There are a new space shuttle called Columbia. When they send on and being to work so, they watch sitting as well, sitting in the tiling system, you're in trouble. They go and take a mechanical business. In the tiling system, they improve the tiling system. Because it was a loose tiles. See, then they watch it and say, oh, all right. And just what is going to be trouble, they work on that. What are we trying to do here? Once you get the thing to, that pool can go and come back, we're going to use that same thing. Amen. Amen? Amen? So this is what is going on here by the grace of God, that God is doing something here. The Holy Spirit is actually bringing the people, it's maybe a little challenge, it must be, they call it mothers and children. Don't panic yourself. You see? So what actually happened here, the Holy Spirit is bringing us to see by revelation what it is Malachi for use to get those things. And when we see where you have to make certain sacrifices, we know we wouldn't get the wrong house to make certain sacrifices. When we see you have to doubt and sweat out certain places, we can't get out. Down and sweat out certain places. Where we see how to be temperate in certain places, we know we can't get without being temperate in certain places. Where we see how to pay a good price when the angel calls to be most in there, we can't get it wrong that night or when that time comes for us at that stage. Every place we have to go. And but when we know we have obeyed that, the same result must come. So he said that's how they prove those things here. They step out with a revelation they had. They was faithful with it until they see these things come to pass. And here we are trying to achieve something. And watch how those men achieve something in their day. Here we are to achieve something as a people. But what do we want to achieve? What are we trying to get a hold of? Is something that's revealed to us out of the message as a promise of this day. But there's a key to that mystery. And that key is a revelation that is laying here. And we know it's correct because we saw the results. The one God who used that revelation. See? And when he came back and preached, the mystery was preeminent. He preached the mystery was preeminent because preeminence brings omnipotence. He said that God is going to achieve in the church right now. That the preeminence in the church is in Christ. You see? And then he showed us Christ's life there. The mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. How that seed germ is growing into the word image. Into the statue of Jesus Christ. Adding word upon word upon word. See? He shows how you can't get a revival without a death. There'll be a killing, then they get a resurrection. This he is picking up the angel word for us. He shows that when he comes to the Jordan, the end over, the angel says, you have the most sincere. Yeah. Yeah. He shows that when you have to keep the feast with your 11 better sincerity and truth. Amen. That is part of the formula. Amen. To bring that. Amen. That is the ingredients in that formula. And this is what we've seen here. So we know he's not just come and say, Lord, I want it to. Lord said, it. No. Because you know, God didn't specify the kind of people that this will come to. The quality and the measure of sincerity. As I was speaking here on Friday night about the sincerity, the right attitude, more responsible, to be more dedicated, consecrate yourself. You see? Maybe tell me, Lord, make it more sincere, but they don't know what to do. They said, Lord, I just want to be more sincere. You see? But then when you know you could do something and God tell you do this, and in doing it, there is something you seem to be done still. Yeah. See? But God didn't want to give you that part of the commandment, leave that part of it to see for yourselves. Yeah. So you will do it. But in the end, you don't want to go that extra thing. You say, well, I want to do this part here. But your heart, the spirit is in it. You're doing it, but you ain't doing it the best way you could do it. You're doing it as a formality. You're doing it, but your heart is not the one you're doing. You see? I used to say, you know what the people say, scripture, render your heart. You don't render your heart, you rend your heart. God is a tear they close a long time. But after people say, tear they close, and they're sincere. So God says, come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So he said, in other words, tear your heart, don't tear your clothes. Because after all, let me go and tear the clothes. See, I said, look, I give my God the same thing. You see? Because somebody person do something and God forgive them for it. And they walk on and do the same thing again. Why? They didn't take time to consider. They didn't see. They just know, well, I do it. And people watch me, so let me say, I'm sorry. So we'll consider the case closed. Because if after I say sorry and people bring it up, then you can pin them down then. You can make them look a certain way. But then you're not thinking in your heart and enter into the place to see that look what you did, look what you could have caused. What caused it going there? How you yield to a contrary influence? How you give yourself over to the enemy? How that if you didn't see where God take the things out of you, it's still inside and just quiet. It didn't bring you on guard to look for it in the future and to make sure it's dead and out to you. You're just unlike, well, to say sorry to close the case. No. That's not what God's talking about. Or you got to see what caused you to be influenced and used and controlled for so long in the first place. Then you're going to see how people are hurt. Then you're going to see how you hurt God and be ashamed of his name. Where did I get there? It's there now. Somebody said, I come now to bring you on guard now. Because you estimate the whole damage. You see? And then you see how one slight unguarded moment, one entrance you give by not being strong in defense and not putting up the right type of resistance. But one little thing you come in there and do so much damage. You see? And this is where we want to see those things. To enter in beyond as we go to pray tonight, let's try to, what you say, no, I don't want to say pray silent, but I want to say pray quiet. I read in there where it says, I can't pray quiet and be fervent. Bible was saying in 1 Samuel when Hannah was by the temple and she was praying so desperately, the priest was just seeing her lips moving and thought she was drunk. It was something so much from the inside. She wanted a reproach taken away. She knew what God would said. It seemed like she was cursed. It seemed that she shouldn't be so. And then she looked and saw the reproach in her and ridiculing her. And then she had faith to believe that God could have changed that condition. But she got desperate about it. And as she began to pray there, it was one thing in her mind. And she made a vow to God to show the depth of sincerity she reached to. She commits herself to God with this thing. The Bible says she vowed a vow to God. And when she get the child, what she'll do with it. In other words, she didn't want to pray for something for herself. She wanted so much that she had to get at all costs. And from the time she didn't believe, feel down inside of the air that maybe I want this, but it's for my glory, not God's glory. Then she prayed until there could be no condemnation inside of there. There could be nothing to hinder us inside of there to see this thing come into manifestation. And do what you want. Abraham was fully persuaded that God is able to perform what he had promised. And he was strong in faith. Though he was going to weaken his body, he was strong in faith. He was obsessed with one thing, that he staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Pressing until the promise became a reality. And where we come in this time of consecration here, Wednesdays and Fridays now, we have two preaching services, which is preaching the word, continuing the word, eh? You see, understand, you're not our natural genius, we stop here. No, we continue the word Thursdays and Sundays. But for the time on Wednesday and Friday night, we want to dedicate ourselves to more prayer. And more consecration, and we want to have exhortation along that line. You could come here and speak anything, any part of it will be it will bless you, because the word is a blessing, it's a blessing the word. But because we want to achieve something, we want to emphasize a certain part of the word. Amen? So I'm saying this too for those who be exhorting after, you know, when you come, Wednesday and Fridays, know what we're on. Know what we're about. Know what is something we're trying to achieve in there to keep our minds in the promise, to make everything available completely, surrendered. Everything what it is, that the Holy Spirit could come down amongst us. We could get as Paul said, pray for a greater supply of the Spirit of God. This is what we want, a greater supply of the Spirit of God. Could we stand up? Every head bow, every eye closed. We'll have the organ music while they pray. So pray quietly. As we sing this little song. Lord, I'm coming now to thee. Lay thy nail-scarred hands on me. Let thy healing virtue flow, and I shall be made whole. Lord, I'm may now to thee. Lay thy nail-scarred hands on me. Let thy healing virtue flow. I shall be made whole.
to be like Jesus. Just let go and enter in tonight to be like Jesus. Shut out everything else in your mind tonight. On earth I long. To be like him. All true life journey. From earth to glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Oh, gracious Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight, Father, for the time of prayer that we have come together. It's part of the Church of the Living God. Lord, part of your redeemed that you call out in this to Exodus. Part of your people, Lord, you brought up this place where we are about to enter over into our inheritance. And Lord God, as you're making plain these things unto us, a time of preparation, getting ready to go over and inherit these things, Father. Lord, it's so we come tonight. Lord God, we might take inventory of our lives. Lord God, we might confess our sins. We might make restitution, make our wrongs right. Lord God, we might let go everything that is contrary with you. Lord God, we might make sacrifices to enter into a closer walk with you, Father. We might come to a place, Lord God, where we can have the satisfaction deep on the inside to know, dear God, we are pleasing you, Lord. To know, Lord God, everything is surrendered unto you. Lord, we pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would continue, Lord, to deal with each and every heart here tonight. You would continue, Lord God, to reveal unto you each and every one of us, Lord, that we might be able to make ourselves completely available unto you. Lord God, we might meet that place, Father, where we could be so surrendered unto you. For Lord God, you said, if a man is totally surrendered unto you, Lord God, nothing would stand before that man tonight. Lord, we know that is the kind of church that you're promising these last days. The prophet often said when he comes to the back door, how he can look and see a church where sin cannot even exist among the people. Lord, we know sin is not just drinking or smoking and these things, Lord, but Lord, it's unbelief. And Lord, we know many times unconscious unbelief have hindered us, Lord. But Lord, we pray that even the unconscious unbelief, you'll make it conscious, Father. All these things, Lord, we get before you. Look into the mirror of your word and search our hearts out. Oh, you search us, dear God. And may your word go deep down between the bone and the marrow. May your word go between the thoughts and the intents, dear Father. May you go down, Lord, to the innermost. And may you find, dear God, every crack, every corner, every crevice, Lord. Every place, Lord God, where there might be something lodged, dear Father. And Lord, may you bring it out, Father. For we know a little leaven, leaven at the whole lump. And oh God, how you want to purge out all the leaven, Father, in this little time of dedication to you. Lord, we pray you search out every life tonight, each and every one. And Lord, may you bring us to a place where you could fill that place, Father. That place that would be emptied out, you would fill it with your Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord, we ask it in your precious name. Amen. May I have a seat tonight? We had one or two things we want to say before we dismiss was to the trustees and to the church in general that, you know, concerning the completion of the building, we have the louvers to put in here and the side here. Also, the door there and, you know, the steps there and things like that, what could be done, you know, before we do the entire completion, the work, what would have to be done. You know, and we trust that these things will be paid attention to, and the saints in general who are we looking forward to support the building fund, we might finish the entire building. We could have it, you know, completely secure and closed. And even the day, you know, on June that time, whenever anybody want to come along and pray, the place would be here and it would be completely available for all those who want to pray and come and consecrate their lives. Amen. Also, we want to remember the services coming up. You know, we will not be here on the 11th for about 2 weeks. And we're going to have services as usual. The sisters' meeting, what we have on Monday. Also, the prayer meeting Bartar on Tuesday, Wednesday, service here, exhortation and prayer. Thursday, service in Bartar, Friday, exhortation and prayer here. And Sunday morning, as usual, we're going to have service. So we're going to continue all these services, and we're going to have trying to get arrangements made and looking over things that could be done. Because I was mentioning on last week, Friday, we want to, you know, different ones right here that God might be able to use. We have Brother Winston here. And also, Brother Winston was exhorting the other night. Plus one or two of the other brothers that we could continue in the channel of inspiration that we are in here, rather than bring somebody in the outside and, you know, we go into something else. So we want to keep at this place and time until we return, that we could continue the word of God. Amen. So try to remember, especially we get the building here completed, because we definitely would not like it to go over into next year to, you know, to have it incomplete. And it's just one or two minor things left to be done, as you see for yourself. We have the Lewis in the front already, just to get somebody to work on it and install it. And like we have the doors here already, just to put up there. I believe those things like that we could try to do. And we have the some Lewis here to change like this. And believe we should try to get some of these areas done. We could, you know, kind of finish up. So whatever it is that just has to be done, it can be done in a matter, because we don't want to really come to go and try to get it done, you know, when a call is given for brothers especially to come out on Saturday and give a little assistance, and then, you know, we find them not turning up. We have the for right in the roof there. We have the sheets here to put in, and it's just believe me, to kind of join one or two and get the right size to hold correctly there, it won't fall out. So like these there, trust that, you know, we try to kind of so we could attend to those things rather than wait and like pull on, because next thing here, hope more kind of, you know, creatures could come in and get up inside here. I believe sometime the other day when we came in here, there's some battle something in the place. So let's try, and you know, animals, sometimes like fowls, and they come through the place there. So we don't want that. We want to, you know, we could get it just secured, and after we would maybe see about the floor and the other things that is to be done. So try and take an interest in it by the grace of God, and support in whatever way that the Lord would make it possible for you to support that it can be completed. So could you all stand to your feet? Let us bow our heads and close our eyes, sing this little song. God is so good. He is so good to me. answers prayer.
He answers prayer.
He answers prayer.
He answers prayer.
Believe it all your heart, he answers prayer tonight.
He answers prayer.
He's so good. But Brendan in the back to ask God bless in this whistle tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Almighty God, we are grateful to be here tonight in your holy presence. Lord, where we can commune with you from our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come to lay our burdens before the Lord, knowing, O God, that you are prayer-answering God in this season. Lord, knowing, Lord, that your presence was here among us, Lord. Knowing, Lord, that where your presence is, the supernatural bound to follow, Lord. Lord, we have experienced a great deliverance here tonight from many things, Lord, that had us in bondage. Lord, God, we praise and magnify your name, Lord. Thank God, as we get ourselves ready, Lord, to go over into our inheritance, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we pray as we are about to depart from this place, may your never-failing presence ever continue to go with us, leading us and directing us into all truth and righteousness. Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it for his honor and for his glory and for his name's sake. Amen.
All to
a seat, could we all continue singing it, or the usher will just dismiss you? God is so good. God.